Who is there for heroes of the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who: the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year. Dozens of golf outings. And the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team, welcome to the Freedom Hut Monday, April 4th edition. We've got the biggest border surge perhaps ever on the way at the U.S.-Mexico border. We also have New York City masking up toddlers again, because this city is determined, it seems, to make me completely lose my mind. And Elon Musk becomes Twitter's largest single shareholder. All very interesting and exciting stuff we'll be getting to here in just a moment. But first off, four deputy U.S. marshals deployed under President Trump to protect and defend a federal courthouse in Portland during the riots of 2020 are being sued by the ACLU. The Department of Justice under the Biden administration will not agree to provide an attorney to defend them from outrageous allegations. These brave officers withstood physical harm, repelling rioters. You remember the images: assaults, fires, flying objects, noxious chemicals, and explosive devices, with a liberal media on the offensive against the police. Learn about these family men with stellar service to our country at policedefense.org. The Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund at policedefense.org educates the public on the risks and threats associated with being an officer today and raises funds to alleviate financial burdens, in this case, hundreds of thousands in mounting legal fees and at risk of losing their homes. Help these officers today. Stand with them. Donate at policedefense.org. Again, help these officers wrongly charged, wrongly accused. Go to policedefense.org. I'm wondering what the Biden administration play is going to be in the weeks ahead here on the immigration issue. Because, and let's be very clear about this, everybody is expecting that this will soon turn into a total disaster. There does not seem to be any belief among anyone that this is not going to be a huge surge of illegal immigrants at the border in the near future. So what exactly is the Biden White House going to say about this? It seems as though there are only a couple of options. One option is that they just hope that the American people don't really notice. There's not much media coverage of it. Their allies in the media are able to make it seem like this is not a big deal, not anything to be overly concerned about. But the polls show that's unlikely to be effective. Another option here, another situation would be if things are looking so bad for Democrats in this midterm that they figure now is the time to just let it rip. Everybody who wants to come to the country legally will come, and they'll sort it out after the midterms. Biden's presidency is already so weakened that it doesn't really feel like they're able to mount much of a defense of the border specifically. I think that's a possibility. That would seem a little bit crazy to me, but then again, look at what they're doing. I mean, here is the Cook Political Report's Amy Walter, a kind of middle-of-the-road Democrat, saying that the Biden administration is not coming up with anything here and that they're just wishful thinking about the border. Play seven.
At this point, this is early March, more than 30% of all Republican primary ads mentioned the border or immigration. At this point in 2018, it was 12%. It is an issue that is not just animating. Right now, it's animating the Republican base, but it becomes an issue, as I said, much more about, is the administration prepared to deal with the problems that go on their plate? And it just seems that so often with the administration thus far, it is much more about wish casting than it is preparation. Wish casting about inflation, right? It's going to be transitory. Yeah. Wish casting that we're going to get Manchin, we're going to get Sinema. They're going to just come around eventually. This immigration isn't going to solve itself. The border isn't going to solve itself.
The border isn't going to solve itself. And here's the problem that the Democrats have. They're never going to be able to secure the border because their base won't allow it. And because to secure the border, really, you have to turn away people not only at the border, you'd have to turn away people, or rather deport people, from the interior of the United States. Interior enforcement. Biden administration has effectively frozen interior enforcement, except for the most dangerous possible cases, individuals who are violent felons. Even some violent felons get to stay. And here we are now at a point where it's clear the Biden team simply doesn't have an answer. And they don't care. In fact, if anything, they wish that the border would be wide open. They like this idea because it's future Democrat voters. But enough Americans are catching on to it that it's becoming a problem for them. Enough of the American people are seeing this for what it is, that they recognize it as a threat to the power of the Democrat Party. And that then becomes an issue. How big an issue? Well, let's just think of it this way. Give you a sense of the scale, of the size of the problem. Here's Senator Lankford saying that once DHS drops Title 42, he believes they will have, this is according to DHS estimates as well, intelligence estimates, 1 million people at the border within 6 weeks.
DHS, actually, in their own internal numbers, thinks that once they drop Title 42, they'll have 1 million people within 6 weeks that will illegally cross the border. The people are piling up right now south of the border, waiting on the Title 42 drop. And they're trying to figure out how to be able to manage it. Their focus right now is focused on how to keep there from being chaos at the border, mm-hmm. rather than how to actually control the border. So they're adding more of those soft-sided facilities to be able to temporarily detain more. They're also looking to do what they call interior processing, where they'll actually pick people up at buses at the border, move them to the interior of the country, and release them from there. Their focus is how to stop chaos rather than how to actually stop people from illegally crossing the border.
Right. They just want to make sure the processing of illegals coming into the country in violation of our law is as seamless as it can be and doesn't create any optics headaches. That's their focus. They have no problem with the masses of illegality coming into the country, or the mass of illegality that will be coming at our southern border. They have no issue with that. Their issue is the American people seeing it and understanding what's really going on. That's the problem that they face. What is their answer to this? They obviously don't want to stop all of it. They don't want to make all of this cease because there are things they could do. Here is Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich saying that Title 42 is one of our last tools. Play eight.
Title 42 is one of the last remaining tools that we have in our toolbox to stop this catastrophe at our southern border. We all know that more than 2 million people illegally entered. If this policy is rescinded, we will see another 500,000 additional people illegally enter our country, essentially the entire population of a place like Kansas City, Missouri. So what the left is doing is they are overwhelming our social system, the safety net, and quite frankly, our communities are less safe because of the massive influx of methamphetamine and fentanyl coming into our community.
It's lawlessness, not just about the violations of sovereignty, and this is important. There are hundreds of thousands in the last 6 months alone, they estimate between 300,000 and 400,000 gotaways who came into the country. Now, those are overwhelmingly people who know that if they're stopped, they're going to be turned away immediately. Otherwise, they would flag down Border Patrol and say they want asylum. They would come as part of a family unit. And the people who are bringing over large amounts of illegal drugs into the country across the border, they are gotaways, obviously, because they get caught. They actually will serve some prison time, or at least theoretically will serve real prison time. So there's over 100,000 Americans who are dying every year from drug overdoses. 75% of that is fentanyl. A majority of that fentanyl, or I should say opioids, a majority of the opioids are coming across our border. And it cannot, it seems to me at least, that they are unwilling to be serious about this and do anything meant to really stop it. They will not stop the massive flow of illegals into our country. It's, you have to ask why. It's because they want Democrat voters down the line, and also it's because they think that this is what the American people owe the rest of the world. This is a form of colonialism reparations, you see. We take in as many people as possible illegally. Never mind the legal migrants who come to the country. We're just talking about illegal migrants here. Take in as many illegals as possible and redistribute the wealth of the American people to them as quickly as possible. This, they think, is a moral duty. The left-wing activists will say this out loud. The Democrats in general will just mouth it quietly when no one is looking. But this is what the activists want, and this is what's actually driving the Democrat Party right now. It's we owe the rest of the world. So we have to bring them in and pay for them. And even if they violate our laws, it doesn't matter. It's our fault, you see. This is part of the transformation of America through the dissolution of the rule of law. This is all tied in together. Masking toddlers in New York City. This is actually happening again today. I want to spend a moment on that and why it's completely insane. It's appalling. We will get into this in a moment. You run a small business, but who's running your HR? If the answer is I'll figure it out myself, or honestly, no one. Remember, one employee complaint can turn your world upside down. But HR is not just about avoiding risk. As a business leader, you should do right by the people you employ. That's why you need Bambi. Bambi is an HR platform built for businesses like yours, so you can automate the most important HR practices and get your own dedicated HR manager. First, Bambi's HR autopilot automates your core policies, your workplace training, and employee feedback. Then your dedicated HR manager will help you navigate the more complex parts of HR and guide you to compliance, available by phone, email, or real-time chat. An in-house HR manager can cost up to $80,000 a year. But with Bambi, your dedicated HR manager starts at just $99 a month. No hidden fees. Cancel anytime. Go to Bambi.com/buck right now for your free HR audit. Bambee.com/buck. Bambi.com/buck. Get your free HR audit. Everyone I know who uses this service is just amazed at how efficient it is and how low cost it is and how much service you get. So go check out Bambi. And now we have protesters here in New York City finally yelling at Mayor Eric Adams. Eric Adams, the new mayor, is supposed to clean up the city. He's doing a horrible job so far. He's done a couple of things right, but mostly he's just doesn't get it. Just doesn't get it. Eric Adams said he'd take the masks off the kids. But now his new health commissioner for the city of New York, biggest city in America, wants masks on toddlers. There's a big surge in COVID cases overseas. It may come and hit this country soon. Just be aware of that. The UK is having a big surge in cases. There are a number of countries that are seeing a spike in COVID cases right now. And they're telling us, oh, we got to have the toddler's mask. Why? They're at the least, statistically, this is true, they're at the least risk by far of any other age group. The youngest are at the least risk from COVID. So why should the youngest be masked up and not adults and not old people, not the obese? Why should children be masked up? They have no answer. They have no answer. This is essentially a religious belief for them. That's the answer. Here is the first time I've seen this, a number of protesters yelling at the mayor of New York City saying, take your masks. This is at a Broadway show saying, take your masks off our kids. Play a little.
Why do you got to you get to take your mask off? Who the f*** do you think you are?
Unmask our kids, they chant. I can tell you this, you know, Democrats in cities like New York need to wake up. All right. This isn't just about your petty politics anymore. This is lunacy. Lunacy. It is child abuse. It's immoral what these idiots are doing. They're so stupid, honestly. Any health authority, any public official, elected or otherwise, who is telling us to mask up children is a moron. And I really mean that. I mean, you could say maybe it's mostly cowardice, but they're definitely somewhat dumb, and they're definitely somewhat cowardly. Still masking up kids? This is outrageous. And when are people going to realize... When are people going to realize that the CDC and the health authorities are the most corrupt bureaucrats in America? Total cowards. Woke, lib, Democrat-supporting lunatics. They are partisans in lab coats. Here is a year ago, just a couple of days ago, so almost to the day, on the Rachel Maddow Show, I want you to hear what the CDC director, top bureaucrat in America, technically Fauci is more powerful, but she has the top title at the CDC. Here's what she was saying about vaccines.
Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick, and that it's not just in the clinical trials, but it's also in real world data.
Don't get the disease, don't get sick, don't carry it. All of that is a lie. All of that was not true. Have you ever had the CDC director come out and say, wow, I missed this by a lot. I'm sorry that I failed you. No, of course not. It's shut up, peasant. Mask up your kids. So I went to a concert this weekend in Brooklyn, no less. Heartland of the ultra hipster. I was even in Bushwick, for those of you who know New York City. And I was wearing a hoodie, courtesy of Tommy John. So I'm hip. I fit in, kind of. But I'm there at the concert, and a guy is standing there. And I've seen him. Of course, there's a guy standing right next to me. This room is packed. I don't know what the capacity is. It was sold out. Maybe there are 2,000 people. Shoulder. And when I say shoulder to shoulder, I mean you had people physically pressed up against you. The place was absolutely jammed. 2,000 people or so in this indoor space. This guy next to me has a mask on. He's got a mask on. And I want, there are so many questions that I wanted to ask him, but I knew it'd be like, oh, you know, if there's a scuffle or he gets mad at me or something, people take out their cameras and someone would eventually figure out who I am. Maybe, you know, right wing radio host trolling at hipster Brooklyn rock concert. And I'm looking at this guy. I'm thinking, what is wrong with him? But I didn't say anything. A fellow hipster, a young woman who looked like she had raided the closet of a grandmother from like, you know, the 1950s or something. I mean, just the way that they dress out there is, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you don't know. But those of you who know. I mean, they find, I'm like, is that like pink dyed sheepskin pants? Like, what is that? Anyway, so she's standing there and she turns to him because the guy had pulled down his mask to drink and he left it down for a little while, but he still had it underneath his chin. And this girl turned to him. She's like, I'm just curious, but like, why? Like, why are you wearing a mask, but like you're not wearing it? And I wanted to give the little lady a high five and say, yes, indeed. I'm curious, too. I would like him to explain how he thinks the epidemiology here works out in his favor. I would like to get an explanation as to how this makes any sense. And I listened in on the conversation. And he said something like, oh, well, you know, I thought I wanted to be safe when I came in. But, you know, now I feel better about it. Understand, the check-in line is like outside. They had like out of a tent, but it was mostly open air. The check-in line was mostly outdoors. So checking in to the concert, he was scared, so he had a mask on. Then he comes in, leaves the mask on, but pulls it down and left it down, I'd say, you know, 30 or 40 minutes drinking. And finally, another lib hipster, I'm sure, is like, what are you doing? Exactly. This is all over the place. People have been so psychologically damaged by this that when you ask them, it's like they've never thought this through. You know, oh, maybe the margarita that I'm drinking out of this plastic Solo cup, maybe that kills all the germs. I mean, well, what's he going to say? Stupid beyond words. But they're masking up toddlers again. Mandatory abuse of children by the city of New York. That's what's underway right now. On to a happy note for a second here to close us out. Elon Musk has bought 9% of Twitter. Talk more about this. That could be a move toward an eventual controlling stake in Twitter. Elon Musk could do more for democracy and free speech in this country than any person in living memory if he buys Twitter and actually revamps it so that it is truly a free speech space. No longer, you know, all you have to do is say if you're caught with politicization as an employee, if you're caught changing the algo so that it only benefits blue-haired, nose-ringed psycho libs on Twitter, we're like, I believe the science, at the expense of conservatives who have a different point of view, you get fired. All he has to do is open it as a free speech platform, and it will change the political conversation in America overnight if he acquires a majority stake and he becomes a true activist investor. I don't think Elon's listening, but if you are, man, please save the country from the psychotic libs. Please do this. Let's actually see who gets real traction on Twitter. Let's see when there's no more games. There's no more conservatives making backroom deals, as some of them have with Facebook, by the way, and other places. Oh, that's a real thing. If it just turns into an open platform, let's see how it actually shakes out. Let's see where the public conversation goes. Let me get a chance to debate some of these blue check, mask maniac, clean energy libs and see how they do without the, oh, your tweet is offensive, or, oh, this is misleading. Yeah, we'll see about that. All right, team, that's the Buck Sexton Show for today. Thanks for hanging out. More tomorrow. Shields high. Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.